Good morning, everybody. So this is the last year for the winter. Emet Hashem, next week is Ben Hazmanim, so I'm going to be off next week. And then before that, before we know it, Yom Tov will be on us. So we're not going to have shiur till at least a week after Yom Tov. There'll be an email when we're back online. So let's try to finish off the section that we were dealing with, and that is the dinim of toys on Shabbos. So it's very varied. The only common denominator between one halacha and the next is that they're about toys. We're going from Makiba Patish to Chorish to Boine to Soiser to Kosher. Toys are a nice varied way of learning on Shabbos. So the next thing I want to bring up is braiding strings. Kids have this nice habit of having these interesting plastic strings of some sort, and they braid them together and make all sorts of shapes with it. And that would be also on Shabbos. It could be kosher, it could be hariga, it could be boine. There's many, many different halachas that could be involved clear in braiding, and therefore it's also on Shabbos. Another thing that's also on Shabbos is gambling. Gambling actually is also even during the week. Chazal were very against gambling. They consider it to be a form of theft, and someone who's a gambler is actually posel eidos, testimony may not be accepted in Beis Din. And we're talking about when the gambling is for money, when there's actually, it's not just a game, but it's actually for reals, as kids called it, then that's also not only on Shabbos, but also even during the week. Swimming on Shabbos. So interesting. Swimming in the olden days, as in 1,000 years ago or so, was actually not looked at as something that's also, it all depended on the format and where and how, and depended on what type of body of water you were dealing with. And the Maisa, as time went, the Chazal, the Rabbonim, were more mashmer on it, and swimming involves the wetting of whatever garment is worn for swimming, which we know shriyus as kibusai, and therefore we worry about the garment getting wet, and we machmir that even if it's clean and you put going into clean water, we still try not to get clothing wet on Shabbos. There is a type to be mako, but generally we don't do it. And second of all, the main reason why we're against swimming on Shabbos is because we're worried about a person coming to squeeze out their hair. So essentially, we're going to say that getting into water on Shabbos, nothing really awesome with getting into water on Shabbos. The main thing to mikvah on Shabbos is mutter, but rather there's other issues that one has to be careful of. Chazal doesn't want us to go swimming on Shabbos, and therefore we don't swim on Shabbos. Once we mention that swimming is awesome, it is awesome whether it's in a home pool or whether it's in the ocean, even though they said they do make a difference between the bodies of water, whether it has a edge and whether it flows over. But since we're asking it, we're going to ask it all across the board. And once you mention swimming in the ocean, we'll say that playing in the sand is also, as we've mentioned above, that sand is mukta, unless the sand has been set aside from before Yom Tov. Like in a toy box, in a sandbox, and if the sand has been set aside from before Shabbos or Yom Tov, then the sand is not mukta. But if it's not been set aside, and that's generally what beach sand is, I can't imagine someone saying, this is now my backyard and I'm preparing it for my kids to play in. And therefore, I'll say that sand remains mukta when doesn't play in beach sand or Shabbos. And another thing that will be problematic is collecting shells. If you go down for a walk on the shore, seafront, one should not collect shells. Another thing that's also on Shabbos is to go onto a vessel that floats on the water, meaning to embark on a journey, but even to go into a rowboat, canoe, or a raft, or anything like that, that would be also on Shabbos. It's a gzeira, Shema Yasis Chavisha Shayatim, that a person might come to make some sort of raft, or some sort of vessel or craft, and the mela we say the whole thing is asur. There would be a case that's mutter if a person climbs into such a vessel, like a rowboat or something like that, for the sake of just getting into it without traveling, and The vessel that he's climbing into is still tied to the docks. Therefore, there's no problem of it leaving. So long as it's tied, then actually he could get into it. Not much point, but you say you forgot something inside somewhere on Friday and you want to go back to pick it up. There's an A roof, obviously, and you could actually go in and take it if it was tied up. Now, another interesting halacha, and this pertains to actually to medicine on Shabbos. We have a rule that anything that pertains to taking medication on Shabbos is also shema yava l'shchikas samamonim. We worry that a person will come to grind up his herbs or whatever type of chemicals he's using in order to make himself a remedy. Obviously, before the days of prepackaged medication, this is what our last saw medication. They're worried that a person will come to grind it up and there will be the issue of tochen. Therefore, taking medication on Shabbos is also. We take it a step, not today, even with our medicine that has been pre-ground and prepared in comes in ready-made format, we're still very machmir on this, of not taking medication. We had shurim on this, the whole section before Atma, how to, when it's allowed or not allowed. But until you have certain level of illness, basically taking medication on Shabbos is also of strictest samamon. Now we take it one step further, and that is that even doing something which is not, does not involve medication, but it's in place of medication, then that would also be also on Shabbos. So if a person had a need to do exercise in order to get his system running better, in order to help heart flow and warm up and bring on an appetite or something like that, then the exercise is done for medicinal purposes, then you say that it is also on Shabbos, because really what it's achieving could be done with medicine, and therefore if he's doing it for other reasons, therefore even though he's not using medicine, then nevertheless, it is also to do. It's very interesting. It's a very far-reaching gzeira that they made, but that is how Chazal did it. There's a discussion about putting something cold into a bruise, whether that would be you knock yourself and you're afraid of bruising, so you take something cold and put it on. Would that be mutar also on Shabbos? That's a discussion. And there would be mutar because that there is no medicinal treatment for that, therefore there's no xerish for the summer morning. But at least the point of exercise, so we call calling his amnus, his amnus is considered as also on Shabbos, one should not do it on Shabbos, which then leads us to discuss where, how far do we take it. So we say that if a person actually goes and takes a jog or a run or does an exercise in his house on Shabbos, that would be also. But to go for a walk, which is something that everybody does in ordinary circumstances, even if your intention is that you should bring on a good appetite, so Shabbos morning after davening, you decide that you're not hungry, so you want to go for a nice stroll, brisk stroll, and that way you're going to have appetite to eat, even though you're not doing it for pleasure, you're doing it for another purpose. Nevertheless, what you're doing is something is considered a healthy person's activity. Healthy person's activity is mutar. Therefore, we say that running on Shabbos is also, but walking, whatever the reason for walking is, whether you're doing it to the doctor said you have to do it, or you're doing it to get somewhere, you want to enjoy the walk, walking is mutar. Now comes the question, but running for a different purpose. So we have generally that Shabbos is considered a day that you can run. Shabbos one walks differently, one walks calmly. But obviously, if you're running for a mitzvah, it's different. So you're late for sure. You want to run for sure, that would be permitted. And if it was done for something which is clearly done for the for a entertainment form of reason, then it would be more. What's this all got to do with toys? Is how do we look at games that children play that include a lot of running? In other words, they play hide and seek, they play catches, they play races, all sorts of activities that children do like that. So that is 100% mutter. There's no problem over there. No one is thinking that the kids are doing this in order to combat hypertension or bring down their lipids or something like that. That is not what the kids are doing. They're doing this to enjoy themselves. And that is brought down in halacha that it's actually a discussion whether the running is enjoyable itself, or the running is to achieve something else. It's like you have an ambulance come into the neighborhood and you have all the kids come running to have a look what's going on. So if you ask the child, are you enjoying this run? And they say, no, I'm not enjoying this run. It's just, I'm very curious and I want to see what's going on. And therefore, the run is just a means to the end. It's just a way to get to see what's going on, to see what's all the excitement about. So some say that the running has to be enjoyable. Some say, no, it's going to be for a purpose that's enjoyable. It's just a way of getting there. And therefore, generally speaking, we're going to say that running is not a Shabbos activity, but for the youngsters, it is absolutely no issue whatsoever. The youngsters can, whether they're doing it in order to get somewhere or they're doing it because it itself they enjoy, we don't mind it, it's mutter to do it. Therefore, jumping rope, things like that, all mutter, and they can do them on Shabbos. Games that require the floor, meaning they roll in balls, dice and marbles, something like that, they play on the floor. So Chazal says this is a gzera that a person might come to smooth out the area that he's playing on. And therefore, to play on a floor essentially is also. If the floor is paved, so then we are machmir that we gozer on a paved floor in case you might come to play on a non-paved. The only case where we make you on a paved floor is if it is indoors. Since it is the regular in our society that our homes are paved, we have proper flooring, we don't live in houses with mud floors. Therefore, since most of the homes in the city are covered, are paved, or piled, or whatever the case may be, then indoors you can play floor games. But outdoors, even though our streets are paved, chaneyot are paved, and things like that, but there's many areas that are not, and therefore the zero remains in place, that games that need to be played on the floor should not be played on Shabbos outdoors, even on a paved surface.
Well, does that include a merpeset?
It's a good question, and as far as I know, the general consensus that people make on a merpeset. It comes out an interesting shayla, discussed it last, I don't remember, I think that's how it came out, is the same applies to sweeping. You're not allowed to sweep an outdoor area, but you're allowed to sweep an indoor area if it's paved. So can you sweep your sukkah? If your sukkah is downstairs in the chaneyah, then you should not sweep. If your sukkah is on your merpeset, I think the consensus is that you may sweep it, because merpeset is still considered something part of your home. I imagine, I'm not 100% certain, but a stoop or a patio or a veranda, which is ground floor, and then leads out to a yard, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. On the one hand, if it's at a different level than the yard, then maybe it's considered still an extension of the house. On the other hand, it's the outdoors, because there's a step in between your patio and your lawn. I don't know. I don't know how I need to look into it. But as far as I know, a merpeset, balcony enclosed, really is just treated as another room of your house. The one room that doesn't have a roof over it, treated as another room of your house. In the choir, you can treat it as the indoor. In Hilchos Mezuzah and it's Hanukkah, it's all discussed whether that's going inside or outside. When you have a merpeset, you put the mezuzah in the direction going from your room to the merpeset, or rather the merpeset is considered outdoors, and you make the mezuzah going from the merpeset indoors. And that's a machlok. I know Rabbi Kornfeld tells me you do what your minig is. If you don't have a minig, you can ask in China. If you're going for a nice stroll on Shabbos, to remember that not every area has an Eruvin, especially if you've gone away for Shabbos on vacation. Not every place that you go to has an Eruv, and therefore you have to take that into account, that if you're not in an Eruv, you can't carry, which means you can't have anything in your pockets, and then therefore you carry it in your hands, you're carrying it on your body, that something in your pockets would be considered carrying, and also that there's a mitzvah before Shabbos comes in. There's a mitzvah to check your pockets, and also every time you leave the house, there's a mitzvah to check your pockets. Something that for some of us who grew up in Chutz La'aretz, where there wasn't an Eruv, sounds simple and like, you know, obvious, but for people who spent their life growing up in the Makom of an Eruv, it's a point to remember they don't have this habit. But if you're going to a place where there's no Eruv, you need to be aware of it and you need to check your pocket. Another thing to take into account is Tchum, to give the full overview of a Tchum is a little complicated in this format, but basically, Chazal didn't allow us to walk beyond 2,000 amas outside of our city limits. What exactly is city limits and how you define the end of the city is a whole shiur in itself, But once you basically have to watch out that if you're going for a walk, if you're going outside of the city, don't go too far, you've got a maximum of uptime ammo, which is approximately 1 kilometer or just over half a mile. And therefore, which if you think of it in, you know, on travels, you're not walking around with a tape measure, but it's approximately what one walks in about it. So a slow stroll is a little bit longer, but something 15 or so minutes, as you know, our masses, we make them within 18 minutes because that is the sheer min. That's the time it takes a person to walk 1 mil. So what you walk in 18 minutes is considered a mil, and that is what one should not go that far outside of the town. If you're here in Beit Shemesh, how far outside Beit Shemesh you can go depends where you start counting. So that's a big shine on its own. When you're away on vacation in a little kvar, it's quite simple. Once you leave the gate of the kvar, you count your 15 minutes, and beyond that, you've got to worry about Chum Shabbos. Dancing on Shabbos is essentially also. We don't dance on Shabbos. There are cases where we matter dancing, one of them is Torah. And from Torah we learn that something which is Simcha Shal Mitzvah, so we can be makel. So people do it at Sheva Brachas and play things like that. Lamaita, it's a cooler to do it. I've heard an interesting way of explaining the kula. Dancing, the reason why dancing is asur is because dancing usually is accompanied with music. And music is asur because we don't play an instrument. We don't play an instrument because Shema Yovel attacking Klei Shir. Because when an instrument breaks while you're playing with it, there will be a malacha involved in order to repair it. And therefore, because one might play an instrument and the instrument might need repairing, therefore we don't dance. It sounds a little far-fetched, but that is how Chazal set it up. They don't want to dance Shabbos, which then takes us one step further, is that today we say that the average person does not know how to fix instrument, and therefore that's already the shit of Tosfos, and therefore we are not worried about Shema Yovel attacking Klei Shir. We're not worried that the person's going to fix his instrument, and therefore we're generally more makel on this issue. And therefore, the way we look at it is that when there's a makom hatzorich, so then you can, you know, like a simple shomitzah, you can do it. That's one heter that people give. The other heter that people give is that dancing that is referred to by Chazal, the type of dancing that is accompanied by music, it's rhythmic, what we call today choreographed dancing. But the from shuffle, as I heard someone describing it, you know, the going from foot to foot and walking in a circle while you're singing, That's not exactly considered dance. I'll call that it's a shuffle, and therefore it's a lot more makel. It's not the type of dancing that accompanies music. So those are the kulos given, and that's why you see a Sheva Brachas, people get up after dance around the table. It's fine. Based on that, and the same halacha is clapping. Clapping also is something that's done with music. It's something that's done rhythmic, and therefore because of this idea of Shema Yovel attacking Klei Shir, we're going to say that clapping on Shabbos is asur. We'll allow clapping in a situation of mitzvah. Again, to say, to the accompaniment of singing, people are davening, and in order to instill more feeling into the davening, they clap while they daven. I'm not going to find that in the more reserved type of communities, but there are other communities where clapping is a very important part of their davening. So you'll say it's part of their davening, Simcha Shal Mitzvah, then we'll be mutter. And the other heter of clapping is if it's done in a shinoi. And already that's a nachat tzad to be makel. So if you do, you clap one hand onto the back of another hand, then we'll also say that that's considered as mutter on Shabbos.
I've seen people clapping after a drasha.
In other words, like in thanks or cheering or something like that. So in the chayre, they should be doing it the derech shin. You know, they clap one hand against the back of another hand and not the regular way. Snow. Not too practical.
Clapping on the table.
Clapping, banging on the table in rhyme, in rhythm to music. Rav Novad is of the opinion to be machmir that one couldn't do that. Again, with all the coolers involved of Shita Satosus that we don't fix our musical instruments today, or whether you go with the idea that it's not really something that brings on to play an instrument. So there's mocking to be makel, but the Maaser Rav Novad is much more machmir. He's much more machmir, and he should not be banging on the table in tune to your singing. and not just on the table. It says even stamping your foot on the floor in time to the music is something one should avoid doing. Any sound that is done rhythmic time with music, it should be avoided to be done on Shabbos. I don't think it's the type of thing to make a fuss about and don't tell someone to stop when they're doing it, but if as a personal anhaga, I would say one should be aware of it. Snow. So not a practical halacha, not in the summer and even in the winter in some places, it happened too often over here. But nevertheless, the halacha is that snow is not mukta. There's no problem of walking on snow, no problem of touching snow, but there is a problem of making snowballs or making snowmen, because that is to be politically correct snow woman. That is considered as boiny on Shabbos, therefore it's a separate problem, but not a problem. To use a pair of binoculars is mutter on Shabbos, can even adjust the focus in order to see. It's no problem. They're cliche enough in a heter, because it's wrong with using them, therefore they're not mutter, and you can use them, adjust them as needed, because that's not considered as a tikkun, that is the way they are used. To make a raffle, or to draw lots, is generally considered osur on Shabbos. It's a form of trading, which we don't do on Shabbos, and therefore we don't draw lots or make a raffle. The cases that we are more mako is if it's involved in mitzvah situation. For example, we have in halacha that there's a very defined order of preference where who gets to say kaddish. Sure, where only one person says kaddish at a time, and you have a couple of avelim who comes first, who second, who third, who might fall out the way on the side. Or when it comes to aliyahs, you have a chosen, you have a bar mitzvah, you have someone who had a baby, or someone who has yahrzeit, and you have a limited amount of aliyahs, who gets them and who doesn't. So there are times in halacha you follow the order of preference, and once you get to someone who's at the bottom of the list and there's enough aliyahs, he's out. But sometimes you get two people who are at the same level of priority, so now the question is, if there's not enough of both, what happens now? Bididi have a uvda, as they say. It happened to me. If I remember correctly, it was after one of my daughters were born, named my daughter in shul. I think that was the case. And there, as a lady, there's very few opportunities to get an aliyah. And there was another simcha on Shabbos, the one it was. And the Rav passed him that my chiyuv was less important than the other lady, and therefore he told me that I would not get an aliyah that week. And in fact, he made it the topic of his drosha that week to explain what it means to have preferences. And this is the way we serve our Kodesh Baruch Hu, is that we do things that are right. If you don't get an aliyah, because that is the way it's written halacha, and that's what you're supposed to be happy about, is that you didn't get it. So, when you have a situation of making a hagrala, so then we have, if it's for the sake of a mitzvah, like an aliyah l'torah, so then you may make a hagrala, you may make a lottery, draw lots, but not by placing names into a hat and pulling them out, but rather you've tried it in a different way, bal peh. There's ways of opening up a book, and whoever gets the smaller number or something like that, without using pre-written cards. Another thing is they often make raffles in order to encourage children to partake in various activities like healing groups in the afternoon, or piruche, or something like that, to keep the children occupied doing good things on a Shabbos afternoon, and then make a raffle of the subanim and all the rest. So again, that would be to encourage them for a mitzvah that we're going to say is mutter on Shabbos. But again, it shouldn't be done with cards. I see a question was posed about taking vitamins on Shabbos. I'm going to just say in very short that what appears to be the understanding is that a vitamin is for medicinal purposes. It should be treated like medicine, and therefore should not be taken on Shabbos. There are opinions. I know that Rav Osher Weiss is one of them. He's the Rav Yerushalayim. He's the posik for Shari Tzedek, and he holds it with mutter to take them on Shabbos. He holds it as considered as regular food, which just happens to have a lot of additional health benefits to it, but not that it's because it matters. And therefore, it's a complicated subject, and I'd rather say that such a particular question you should ask your own rabbi, clear ruling on whether you can take your vitamins and Shabbos or not. And one more thing for today is the last halacha that you should know that brings connection with games and toys that kids do, and that is oil. Making a tent on Shabbos is possible. You cannot make a tent. It is a tolda of boine of building on Shabbos, and making an oil is also. Kids love making tents, and they love making them in the middle of your living room, and they love making it over your dining chairs. And the problem is that once they've made it, then you can't take it apart, because the same way you can't erect an oil, you cannot disassemble it either. And therefore, if your kids set up a tent in your living room with the dining room chairs on Shabbos afternoon, and now you come to Shabbos Shudas, you cannot take it apart, and you have to find another place to sit on Shabbos. So that is on the subject of oil, the subject and the end of our shiur for today.
Mm-hmm.
So I take the opportunity, because we're not going to have a shiur again after Yom Tov, to take the opportunity to thank everybody for participating, and to wish everybody a Kosher and Pesach. See you after Yom Tov.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Miriam.
Nice to see you, Miriam.
See you too.